Welcome to Real Talk. I am Ambassador Curtis Ward. Over the course of the past few years, we have seen a number of Caribbean women assuming leadership roles in a number of disciplines, breaking glass ceilings, and displaying great leadership in the areas mostly dominated by men. Caribbean women leading from the front. Here are a few examples of these phenomenal women. The director of the Pan American Health Organization, PAHO, Dr. Carissa Etienne, a medical doctor and a national of Dominica, now in her second term, leads the region's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. She's only the second woman to serve as director of PAHO in PAHO's 119 years history. The new Secretary General of CARICOM, Dr. Carla Burnett, an economist and national of Belize, and the first woman to lead the 48-year-old regional organization, taking the reins at a time when an infusion of renewed thinking and strategies are needed to breathe new life into the organization and the integration process. The Prime Minister of Barbados, the Honorable Mia Amor Motley, only the fifth woman to serve as head of government in the nearly 60 years of Caribbean independence, has demonstrated the highest leadership qualities among her peers and has impressed the international community in her advocacy for the region. The people of Barbados has awarded her leadership with a history-making consecutive clean sweep at the polls for a second time. U.S. Federal District Judge in Washington, D.C., Tanya Chutkan, a national of Jamaica, handed America a landmark decision in Trump v. Bennie Thompson, denying the former president the authority to invoke executive privilege to prevent the January 6th committee access to over 700 pages of documents critical to the committee's investigation of the January 6, 2021 insurrection. Judge Chutkan's landmark ruling was upheld by the U.S. Court of Appeals and by the U.S. Supreme Court in a near unanimous 8-1 decision. With all of these great examples of phenomenal Caribbean women leading from the front, the one which triggered my interest in making this a subject for Real Talk with Ambassador Curtis Ward is the history-making assumption of the leadership of the Jamaica Defense Force by Admiral Antoinette Weems Gorman on January 21st, 2022. Rear Admiral Gorman is the first female head of a Caribbean military force, first in the Americas, and only the second in the entire world. After nearly 6 years of Caribbean independence, this giant step for women leadership in the region was long overdue. I asked five Caribbean professional women in the diaspora to share their perspectives on the importance of women leadership across all spectrum of Caribbean society, one-on-one with me on Real Talk. My special guest today is retired U.S. Navy Commander Dennis McCullough Curry, a national of Jamaica and an alumna of Myrgrove High School in Kingston, Jamaica. Commander McCullough Curry migrated to the United States in 1969, and in 1973, she enlisted in the U.S. Navy. In 1979, she was commissioned as a naval officer. And after 27 years of service, she retired. Commander McCulloch Crary has a bachelor's degree and two master's degrees. One from the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, and the Naval War College, Newport, Rhode Island. This naval officer has been an active member of the Jamaican diaspora and has served in a number of Jamaican organizations, including in executive capacities. As a retired naval officer, Commander McCulloch Crary served as the first female national president of the National Naval Officers Association. This organization will be 50 years old in 2022. She's a businesswoman in Oakland, California. She's married with three children, and she's also pursuing an active career. Commander McCulloch Crary is a phenomenal woman. Welcome to Real Talk, Commander Crary.
Ambassador Ward, thank you very much for that very kind introduction. It's a pleasure to be here. I know you have a cadre of phenomenal women you could choose from, so it's a real honor that you decided to talk to me today. Pleasure.
Thank you for being here with me, and we are going to have this conversation in what I consider to be Caribbean women leading from the front. And my interest in this was really triggered by the recent ascendancy of Rear Admiral Antoinette Wemyss Gorman to be the head of the Jamaica Defense Force. Your experience in the U.S. Navy has quite a bit of interest for me, and I'm sure for those who will be tuning in to my podcast. And so let's talk about this. But before we talk about Rear Admiral Wemyss Gorman, I want to just ask you a few questions and get your perspectives on women leading organizations such as this one. How do you feel? And how do you believe it will have an impact on the Jamaican society as a whole and on recruitment of women to the Jamaica Defense Force?
Well, let's see. Let's start with the first one. How do I feel? Absolutely phenomenal. It's, you know, we live in the United States and we have these Caribbean women who are just doing absolutely phenomenal things. And I actually met Admiral Wemyss Gorman when she was commander of a unit over at Port Royal in Jamaica. And I, in preparation to talk to you, I try to remember how I got in contact with her. She had a promotion and I read about her and being a retired Navy. I reached out to her and she was very, very receptive to meeting with me. And I took my Aunt Doris and we went over to her command and she gave us a tour. And it was clear to me then, as we say in the Navy, she was definitely on the rise going places. So for her to be in this position and being one of two in the world as a female, in what is a predominantly male environment for many, many years, it is certainly something to be proud of. I am definitely proud of her. My fellow naval officers are proud of her. And I know all Jamaica, especially over here, we all watch with awe and just, it's just phenomenal. In terms of the impact on Jamaica and women, well, I'm hoping that my fellow Jamaican women, especially young girls, look at her as a great role model and to see where they themselves could go in terms of the armed forces or military. The military is not probably one of the places even males or females gravitate to for the most part. One, there's the initial training. In America, we go to a boot camp as an enlisted person. As an officer, you go to officer training. And that is usually the first thing that people are thinking they can't get through. And of course, we have all these women who have gone, graduated, and now holding these posts. So I would say to our young Jamaican women, the sky is the limit. Instead of thinking about what you can't do, think about what you can do. You know, they say can't is you certainly am not trying.
That's an excellent message.
Right. So the bottom line is you can be whatever you want to be. You just need to commit. You need to swim with the eagles. Don't fly with the eagles. Stay away from the fishes. Be in a positive environment. And, you know, just know that where myself, other women came from humble beginnings.
Well, that leads me to my next question. Yes. That leads me to my next question. From your own experiences, going back to your early years growing up in Jamaica, how did that prepare you for choosing a military career?
Well, let me start by just saying how it prepared me before I go to choose in the military career, because that's a whole story in itself. But I've always said, anybody who has met me, you know, Americans, Jamaicans, I credit 90% of my success in life to that foundation I got in Jamaica, starting with, you know, baby school. I went to Alvernia Primary, a.k.a. St. Francis, a.k.a. Nun Spen, for my early education. You know, the nuns, Mother Fidelma, Sister Regina, Claire, you know, they don't play in the Catholic schools. You're there to learn. And from there, I spent 5 years at Myrtle Grove High School. I left in fifth form. And, you know, I was surrounded. It was a girls' school, number one. So I was surrounded by all females. It was a boys' school in the early years, and they switched to all girls. So I went to an all-girls school. Had all female teachers, the majority role models, my principal, my English teacher, Miss Martin, Miss Lynch, great, phenomenal woman in their own right. I had one male teacher who came from England. So I had a wonderful foundation of successful women, teachers who cared about us as students, not only taught us in terms of education, but deportment. You know, you couldn't speak the patois under the big tree, you know, according to Mrs. Martin, your market lady. Of course, that's a whole nother subject these days. But my foundation prepared me for migration to the United States, because, as you know, you're leaving homeland and family, come into a foreign country that you do not know. Yes. In terms of military, I joined the military as an enlisted, believe it or not, to get to Florida, where the sun was shining, and to get out of my environment. And out of plain curiosity, I made a decision to get commissioned, because at the time I had finished my undergraduate education, I was looking for a career. And because I'd been in the Navy 6 years as an enlisted, I decided, after job hunting in other fields, the hotel motel management was where I was looking at, that I wanted to stay where I was already planted. And so with that, I decided to get a commission. So it just kind of happened. I didn't plan. I was a Brownie and a Girl Guide back in Jamaica. But when I left Jamaica, I did not plan to come to the United States to be in the military. I saw the opportunity for travel, the opportunity for education. They paid for my graduate education. And just, you know, it was just, it ended up being the best decision of my life, to tell you the truth.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I think I'm retired now.
That is very interesting, because sometimes you are not quite sure what your focus will be, and you take advantage of opportunities that come your way. But all your life, really, your early life, you're accustomed to women leading. So it was not a very strange environment for you.
No, it wasn't.
When you started to do your own leading in the areas in which you... But I want us to move quickly to the another point that I want to ask you. While you were in the Navy, did you meet other Caribbean women who had achieved high levels within the service?
Well, I joined as enlisted right after the Vietnam War, where they didn't have that many African Americans serving. In fact, my first assignment was to help recruit students out of high school. When I got commissioned, I was recruited because there weren't that many African American officers serving in the Navy. So when I joined and got commissioned, there were so few. But I did meet mid-grade. And in terms of people getting to this level that Admiral Weems Gorman is, or in any position, even the American Navy as an admiral, that was like almost unheard of for a Black female. The highest was, and I'm going to use Navy rank, lieutenant commander, equivalent to a major in the Army. So we came in when things were a little bit rough when it came to the integration of African Americans in the Navy. So along the way, though, mid-grade, I did meet, there was a young lady, we're still friends, in fact, she's coming to visit me here shortly, Heather Carrington, who the Jamaican government sent to the Naval Academy on a scholarship. And then I met Ava Howard, Jamaican, went to the Naval Academy, and Althea Williams went to the Naval Academy. And for those of you who don't know, the Naval Academy is equivalent to the civilian Ivy League school. And so when you get selected there, you have to have your stuff together, to put it bluntly. In terms of at higher levels, when I joined, the highest level that I'm remembering for females, for a Black, was lieutenant commander, which is equivalent to a major. So we didn't have any admirals, and it was years before we had a Black female. And even over all this time, I think we've had maximum, gosh, maybe three? I don't want to miss, you know, because it's my history might be bad, but we've had very few African-American females, and only one to get all the way to four-star, Michelle Howard, which is, you know, she's kind of a famous here in the United States. But rising to the rank of admiral is no easy feat. So for Admiral Weems Gorman, that is just tremendous what she has accomplished.
Commander McAllister, you have a very rich experience in the U.S. Navy, but in life in general. And I think this message that children and young women, young girls and women in Jamaica and across the Caribbean can take a lot from what you have told us today about your career path and how you have taken the opportunities as you see them. And certainly the early years of your foundation have had an impact on your life and on your career, even though you hadn't set up to be a naval officer. Everything that you did before prepared you for that time. So I really want to thank you for sharing with me your perspectives on women leading from the front. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Ambassador.